Today's guest is Harry Hagan. He's the Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator for about 16 years in that role, and I've been writing him checks every year for those 16 years and resenting it every year or twice a year. Hagan's a Goleta Valley native, and he's worked in local government for 30 years. He was first elected to the position in 2010 from a field of four, and then ran unopposed for three more terms. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Harry Hagan.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be here. It's always fun to talk to you and be a guest on your show.
I appreciate that. And when you ran in 2010, says a field of four, was one of the four the incumbent?
No. I was the assistant treasurer tax collector for 8 years under Bernice James. And so when Bernice decided to retire, I decided to throw my hat in the ring. And there were four of us. The other three were from outside the county government. And I was fortunate enough to win in the primary.
Well, you had name recognition. I'm guessing you were endorsed by Bernice James.
Yes, Bernice endorsed me. Gary Faramisco, for those that remember Gary, he was the treasurer tax collector for, gosh, I want to say it was close to 16 years before Bernice. And he's the one that hired me into the office. He endorsed me. And then Glenn Nykirk, who was the treasurer before Gary, and that's before it was even consolidated. Glenn endorsed me also. And on my screensaver here at work is a picture of the four of us together at a celebratory party after I won that election.
Okay, so we're going to talk about another celebratory party that'll be coming up in December or January for you for the fact that you're going to be unemployed. But but before we get into that, and it's interesting you mentioned that they were who was in the field. I want to talk a little bit about the elections in a bit. And also what's interesting is how certain positions in the county are elected positions. And I want you to tell me what they are and why do you think they are. But first, just a little bit about what you do. I used to go in to pay my property taxes in person. I just liked that idea. And then they have in that county building now, like you're walking into an airport. You got to empty your stuff and put in a tray and walk through. And I don't want that hassle. So now I pay online. But am I remembering, you run a $3 billion budget. I have this note here, 55% is school. You deal with the property tax process and tax sales. Is that what you do?
So the investment pool is anywhere from about $2.5 to $3 billion at any one time. Obviously during property tax collection cycles, December 10th and April 10th, that number will balloon more towards the $3 billion. During the summer months when the county is actually spending cash as opposed to bringing it in, that number goes down significantly. But as far as the things that I do, the treasurer, the tax collector, and the public administrator are functions that I'm elected to perform. So the treasurer, I'm the bank for the county, but also for special districts and the school districts also. And as part of being the treasurer, we run up an investment pool, as we talked about, and about 40% of that pool is county funds, but 50% of it is schools funds. So that gives you an idea of that it's not just the county I work for, it's the school districts and special districts also. The tax collector, I mean, that's where people recognize my name as sending out about 125,000 secured tax bills a year and another, about 20,000 or so, 30,000 unsecured tax bills that go out also during the year. Public administrator, that's a function where someone passes away and there's no family or friends to administer the estate. The court will appoint me. Well, sometimes there could be irregularities too. in the estate. So they appoint me to administer the estate and bring it through probate, and then pay the final, bills of the estate
But wait a
and distribute.
second. Wait a second. How
Yeah.
come you never sent me listing referrals from these people that die without anybody to handle the estate?
So a lot of these estates don't have real property. Sometimes they're indigent, but sometimes there's times where they do have property, but they're, I would say, they're usually, there's some irregularities with the property. I'll put it that way. They're not class A things that you'd probably want to sell, Mark. Let's put it that way.
There's some real estate agents that have connections with attorneys that deal with probates, or not even probates, just trusts and all that, and they get a lot of listings from them.
Yeah, probate is, there's rules related to probate that are a little bit different than the regular, real estate transactions would have, especially with the overbids and the auction process of it.
Right. My guest, Harry Hagan, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator. That's interesting. You send out 125,000, you call them secured tax bills. Is that property taxes? And then you said 20,000 unsecured. What's unsecured?
So an unsecured bill would be if you have a boat or a plane, or even more common would be a business. If you're a restaurant, you would get an unsecured bill for your equipment. Or maybe you might be conducting business on a governmental property. And so you'd get a possessory interest type of bill, which is unsecured. And so those are the type of bills that we send out for those types of properties. We probably collect about 97, 96, 97% of the unsecured roll at the end of the year, at the end of the year being June 30th. And on the secure side, it's usually about 99% is collected at the fiscal year end. The remaining parts then roll to what's called the redemption roll, and that's where you're accruing interest at an ungodly amount of 18% a year. So it's not a good deal, but it's everyone's right to go onto the redemption roll if that's, if they have cash flow problems. And of course, a lot of that happened during COVID. That was very common. The whole economy, obviously, in the world changed during COVID. But some of the other things that I do is
Oh,
debt
and before,
administration.
well, let me stop you one more time. You said something about investment pool, and I'm not sure I ever understood that. Does that mean you're taking all this money and doing what with it?
So the investment pool, and if you think back to the mid-90s, or around 94, I think it was somewhere on there, the bankruptcy in Orange County, right? And so their investment pool, they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And so the laws of the legislature, made the investment pool a lot more restrictive, meaning, and it was a good thing, obviously. So we can't invest out more than 5 years, and we're buying fixed income. So you're talking bonds is what we're purchasing. And it has to be a certain credit quality depending on what you're investing in. And the basic tenets of the investment pool are safety of the assets, liquidity, and yield. Yield being the third, aspect of it. And so our pool, the most recently completed quarter, that was accepted by the Board of Supervisors was June 30th. And at that point, the return was 3.64%. And so it's a big checking account is what we're doing, because you have to provide liquidity in the pool for all the warrants or electronic, payments to clear every day. And it's got a weighted average of maturity of about 700 days.
And
And
is
what
all
we do
this
is,
public
oh
knowledge, public information?
Absolutely,
So there's no shot. As soon as you started mentioning this, I started thinking of Nancy Pelosi and
Oh,
how
so
she gets all the inside information. And I don't know how true it is, but that's what she's accused of, having this huge portfolio. So I was wondering if you have an opportunity to buy something, that nothing that you guys buy goes up. We can't have any insider trading here.
no, these are all just bonds. So basically, U.S. Treasury bonds is what we're purchasing. Some agency issues, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, that kind of stuff. But the gross majority is U.S. Treasury bonds. So as far as insider trading, when I mentioned Gary Faramisco, he actually counseled me that I shouldn't, as if I become the treasurer, and which I did, don't ever buy individual securities at all. And so any of my personal holdings, my wife and I, is always through a mutual fund. It's not, we don't buy individual stocks because we never wanted to be accused of that, of which many Congress people do get accused of.
But it doesn't sound like your job and what you're buying could impact individual stocks, or could they?
No. But we do have access to information, and we do have tools here that are paid, through taxpayer funds, like our Bloomberg machine. And so I just didn't want to ever have any kind of issues related to that at all. It's just,
Wow, that's a real bell ringer to hear. I wouldn't have guessed that. I was just bringing it up to make a joke. And
No, not at all. That's a,
interesting.
to me, I have to file, as any elected official does, a Form 700 every year where you're disclosing all your personal holdings that could be looked upon as suspicious, let's put it that way. And I try to keep that nice and clean so I never have be accused of utilizing taxpayer resources for personal gain.
Now, as smart as you are, and you're in the thick of it, my guest, Harry Hagan, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator, if you were of the inclination to try to embezzle, you're a smart guy. Do people, has anyone in your position ever been accused and found guilty of embezzling?
Not as far as I know, treasurers in California. I mean, every now and then you do hear about a public official, not necessarily just treasurers, but people, decision makers, either boards of supervisors or city council members, that actually have decision making authority for policy, or sometimes assessors who have some decision making ability on that affects individual people. That they get in trouble and get prosecuted for different, self-serving things or illegal activities. But I've never heard of that in Santa Barbara County. But it has happened quite, I shouldn't say regularly, but it has happened in San Bernardino. They've had some issues. And to be honest with you, I think if you go back to the origins, I mean, I was just in high school at the time, but the origins of Prop 13. There were some assessors that were doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. In other words, paying off, campaign promises or campaign favors by reducing people's assessments. And so there was, I mean, there was some, I mean, if you go back, I mean, there was some stuff that wasn't just all financially driven that, all the things that were happening and people being taxed out of their homes. It was stuff like that too. I think that the Jarvis Gann initiative was addressing.
That's funny. And you know what? If you create a situation, there's always going to be something going on where someone does something. My guest, Harry Hagan, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator. I think I interrupted you. I think you were kind of finishing up. Was something else you wanted to add about
Oh, just
your.
so the position does so many things that, I mean, it's really intellectually stimulating, and we do all the debt administration. So we're not just buying, securities for the pool. We actually sell debt when the county goes out to market to build a capital project, that kind of thing. We do. I'm the public guardian, so if there's someone that needs to be conserved because there's no family or friends to take care of them, then I'm the conservator. I sit on the retirement board. That's a function where money managers do purchase securities, both private securities and public offerings, and we have a lot of different things, types of investments in the investment pool there. So there's a lot of things I get to do. I sit on several committees, and there's a lot of different kinds of taxes too. Cannabis is a very labor-intensive tax that we deal with. But those are kind of some of the things that the treasurer tax collector gets to do.
Right. And so, okay, so you've been in public service for 30 years, you've been in this position for 16 years, and now you announced prior to the June primary that
Yes.
you are retiring, and congratulations on being unemployed.
It was an easy decision. Well, it was an easy decision the closer we got to it. It wasn't easy to start with, but my wife retired. My wife, Julie, was a deputy director in the public works department at the county. And so when she retired in December, it was the right time. It was the right decision
Well,
to
that's great. Well,
spend more time with her.
I hope we can keep in touch after you leave public service, and you can tell me how great your newly formed stock portfolio will do, and maybe you can give me some tips. Harry Hagan, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator. We have these elections in June. I want you to tell me there's some elected positions, and I don't know why they're elected and why they're not appointed. And we had this conversation, and we have your position, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator. We have the county clerk recorder, Joe Holland's position that he's in now. Let's see, and you mentioned the sheriff, the coroner, and the DA. Are those the five positions?
The sheriff, yeah, sheriff coroner is one
Oh,
position. That's
sheriff,
Bill Brown.
coroner, Bill
And
Brown.
auditor controller is the fifth. The
Oh,
auditor controller, that's,
okay. Auditor
yeah.
controller, DA, you, and the clerk recorder. Wait a minute, that's four. The sheriff, the DA, the auditor controller, you, and Joe Holland. That's five.
Yes.
That's five. Why do we have the elections in June? For example, Joe Holland ran and lost, but now he's still the administrator all the way till December or January. Why don't they have the elections in November?
Well, if there were three people running and one person didn't get 50% plus one, then the top two candidates would go to a November election. But in Joe's case, one of his deputies, Melinda Green, ran, and so it was just the two of them on the ballot. So it does seem like a long time, having gone through that myself, that you're the treasurer-elect in my case, when I won in June. But you think back when Bernice ran, the election was in March. That's when the primary was. And so Bernice had to wait, close to 10 months to get sworn in.
I understand that if you have more than two, you can then have the top two run against each other in November. We see that happening, like for the mayoral race in Los Angeles and governor and all that stuff. But it seems like there's only two people running. Why don't they just put them to November?
They could. Yeah, they very well could.
Well, before you retire, why don't you make that happen? You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. My guest, yeah, my name is Mark. My guest is Harry Hagan, Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator, and he's singing his swan song. Are you going to change your outgoing message to say, "This is Harry Hagan. I'm retiring in a few months. I have one foot out the door, so leave a message and hope I return your call."
No. I'm gonna finish strong. I'm not gonna cut out early.
I have met Joe Holland when I started interviewing him. He's had an amazing run.
Yes.
And I was surprised. And on the one hand, I'm surprised that he lost because he's an incumbent with that name recognition. And he's been, in charge for so long. He's been doing a great job. It's not like he should have lost because he wasn't doing a good job, but it was just an awkward thing. The poor guy had this back surgery. And part of me was hoping, why don't you just retire? But I'm guessing if I was him, I might be thinking, hey, I'm still on top of my game. I have this physical thing that's prevented me from going in the office, but I can still do the job. So, God, it must have been a tough decision to decide to run. And and then he lost.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Joe since the election, but he's had an amazing career. He's done a lot of good things. And if you think back, he's done the elections, right? And we haven't had any scandals like, say, back in, was it Broward County where they had the hanging chads that one year.
Right.
Joe's never had any kind of issues at all with the elections. Having said that, he's done some amazing things in office. Melinda Green, another friend of mine, they're both friends. She will do an amazing job. She has a ton of energy. She understands the job and very ethical and smart. So the electors, the taxpayers could not have selected a bad candidate there in my mind. Joe, he would have been fantastic. He has been fantastic. Melinda will do very well too. And they're very, very close friends of mine. So I wasn't about to endorse one over the other because they're both close friends. And I think the world of both of them.
Okay, that makes sense. We just about have a minute left. Any quick comment? I mentioned earlier about these five positions, yours, Joe Holland's, the sheriff coroner, and the DA, and the auditor controller. I don't, is it too long a question? We just got a minute left for you to explain why they're elected positions versus appointed positions. And on top of that, this board of supervisors now trying to make Sheriff Brown, they're trying to control what he's doing. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, so the short answer is the five are independent and they serve a greater constituency than just the County Board of Supervisors. So as an example, I mentioned the schools. That's my largest depositors in the Treasury. So when I'm collecting taxes, I'm collecting for all the taxing entities on that tax bill, whether it be a city, a special district, the county, a city, I'm collecting for everyone. And so that's the reason for me. And it's similar explanations for the other four elected positions too. It's an independence of who they serve. Cities don't have their own jail. Well, some do, I guess Lompoc does. But generally the sheriff is providing services that cities don't. The DA, cities don't have district attorneys. The county has the district attorney. So basically it's the overarching responsibilities of these different positions and the need to be independent.
And
That's the short answer.
they're serving the public in general directly, so the public gets to pick them. I had written a letter to the board, email to the board of supervisors saying just that, this man was elected, and if he's doing something that the people don't like, they won't elect him the next time he runs. It seemed unfair to me to have the board of supervisors suddenly assume the role of sheriff and control his department, but that's a political thing. I'm glad we're out of time. So you can't argue with me.
I would never argue with you, Mark.
Does that make any sense to you? You're out the door. You can say anything you want.
Well, I'm an elected official, so I'm going to kind of side with my colleagues that are also elected. It's not an easy gig being an elected official. Sometimes you have to remember that you serve the taxpayers, and sometimes competing interests don't like to hear that.
Harry
So.
Hagan. 30 years in public service, 16 years in the role of Santa Barbara County's treasurer, tax collector, public administrator. Always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course, anytime, Mark, even after I'm retired.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.